Amen. No. But that reminds me of a story. When I was in college, I went to NAU, and for a couple years at least, and we were all sitting in one of my friends' rooms, and we were all playing video games and just sitting there. And this guy, like, you hear this screaming, and you know, like, have you ever heard somebody screaming, and as they get closer, you know, it gets louder, and you're like, and we're like, okay. And the screaming got louder, and all of a sudden, this guy is in their doorway, and he's got this huge pumpkin. He's like, ah! And he throws the pumpkin, and the pumpkin explodes all over the room. And then he just yells, and he runs off. And he just, ah! You just hear, random is saying, sorry, but when you asked me if I was going to smash the pumpkin, it reminded me of that. Anyways, that had nothing to do with anything. I guess. Hold on just a second. Let's pray. That's the best thing to do anyways. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your presence, and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your spirit that guides us into all truth. We thank you for the truth of your word that is life and bread into our bones and our body. And Lord, tonight I just pray that every single one of us would be good and fertile ground to receive the seed of your word tonight, Lord. That it would be planted in us and produce 10, 100, 1,000-fold, because your word goes forth and it accomplishes its purpose. It will go forth and accomplish its purpose, Lord, because that's what you designed it to do. So I thank you, Lord, for the message that you placed in our heart, that it will accomplish its purpose here tonight. We welcome your presence. We welcome you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's the first one of the night. Sorry, I caught myself. Just for sake of recording, I titled this message, The Light Will Shine. Lord help me. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry, I got messed up back there during that last song in worship. I gotta get it together. That was good. I don't know if any of you all experienced or felt the same thing that I did, but when I recently changed work schedule, and so now I work Mondays and Wednesdays instead of Tuesdays and Thursdays, and so Peter has been leading praise and worship the last few weeks and will be for the foreseeable future on Wednesdays, just because I'm never quite sure when I'm going to get out of work. But so as he was leading, and we're just singing, you know, about he is Jesus, Christ our Savior, our Redeemer. And I looked over, and Peter was going like this. And all of a sudden, like, I don't know how to describe it. I could feel like a tangible, like a smoke, like a mist. And in my eyes, like, have you ever, like, you wake up and you first open your eyes and it's kind of foggy a little bit. And then you kind of, like, wipe the stuff out of your eyes. Well, it was, like, foggy and it was misty. And just the presence of God was just awesome. The presence of God will jack you up. I tell you what, if you are the same after being in the presence of God, then that wasn't God. And when it's God, the Holy Spirit will mess you up in the best way possible. It is so awesome. Yes, new wine. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Well, let's go in the Word to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 1. I did not give them the list ahead of time, so we won't have the stuff up there. But that's cool. All right, so John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him." Say him. Yeah. "And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life," say his life, brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. I don't know, this verse or this passage of scripture, just the last couple of weeks, has been blowing my mind. And I just keep reading it. And, you know, sometimes we think like this, we get like this religious mindset that, you know, we have to read like 10 chapters a day, otherwise we're not like reading enough or whatever. But, you know, if when God is telling us something and we're reading a scripture and it's like, read that again. God is telling you something. Read it again. It doesn't matter if you don't read, you know, 10 pages or whatever. God is doing something in me, and he's just been, the word already existed. The word was with God, and the word was God. And everything that existed was through him and in him. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The word, the he, the him that we're talking about, that's Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the light. We talk about these things all the time. He is Jesus. It's the word. Jesus is the word. And let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. And God is just awesome, awesome, awesome. We know that. It's just been like, he just keeps confirming everything through the messages that have been given and what he placed on my heart to share. And God is doing stuff, and we gotta recognize and jump on board and get with it. So I know I've shared this a bazillion times, but last year when we were doing our 21 days of school prayer, we were walking around Douglas High School, and the Lord clearly told me, well, I shouldn't say that. He clearly put in my heart, I've never heard his audible voice, but there's just sometimes that knowing, like all of a sudden there's this thought in your head or in your heart that wasn't yours, and you know that it's God. And he said, my glory is on the rise. My glory is on the rise. And ever since then, it's just been coming up, my glory is on the rise. My glory is on the rise. And, you know, the last couple months or so, and I've mentioned this before, just like, God has just been putting, I feel like he's putting more of his heart in me and his compassion and letting me see things kind of with a different perspective than I've seen before. And Eric had shared on Sunday, and I so related to it, how, you know, how he has to be guarded and careful with how much news and public media that he takes in, because it can be very discouraging. And I recently had, you know, this time where, I mean, I would, and not even like staying up to watch the news, because I try to stay up till 10, and then Mitch and I are both asleep, and we wake up like in the middle of the night, and oh, geez, let's go to bed. But like Facebook, I mean, just Facebook, like just scrolling, and you see all the news and the trending things and all these things, and I'd read these articles, and I would get so discouraged. Like, God, don't you see, like, what is happening? Like, don't you see, you know, these children that are suffering, and like, just really upset, discouraged, angry, like, all these different emotions. And God has been speaking this word, John 1:1-5, about the word, and that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. Matthew 16. So Matthew 16, verse 18. Says, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. I love the way that it says it in the King James and New King James Version, where it says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And God has just been dealing with me that despite what we see, and despite what, you know, the discouragement and all this doom and gloom and all these things that we see all over the place, you know, his word will go forth. He will go forth. He will build his church. He is building his church. And the gates of hell cannot, will not prevail against it. The devil can't win. I mean, it's literally impossible. He cannot win. Jesus already has the victory. He already took the keys to the gates of hell. He already conquered it all. We are just the enforcers of his victory on this earth. We are the enforcers until he comes back. So the devil can't win. 1 Peter 5:8, we don't have to go there, but we know that this one says, you know, that the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking those who he may devour. And I read that and was like, all of a sudden, the devil roars like a lion, like a lion. It doesn't say the devil roars because he is a lion. It says he roars like a lion. Sophia is at the age now where she plays pretend, and she pretends that she's all kinds of things, crazy, you know, things, you know, the kids and their imaginations and things that they do. And in the Word, it describes Jesus as the lion of Judah, the lion. We serve the lion. The devil is an imposter, and he's going around roaring like a lion, like a little kid pretending that he's this big old thing, but he's not. We serve the lion. We serve the lion of Judah. There's only one. Everything that Satan does is false. Everything that the devil does is false. The Word says that he's the father of lies. That's it. And John 8:44, let's go there. I'm getting excited and I want to go faster than my mouth can talk. John 8:44 says that you belong to your father, the devil. And he's talking to the Pharisees and these people. If you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires, he, speaking of Satan, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. There is no truth in the devil at all. So whatever he says is a lie. That is, the Word says here, this was the NIV version, I loved it. That is his native language. That's how he talks, is lies. That's all he knows how to say. He's been a liar. He's been a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. How many of you have seen Jaws? Jaws? Yeah, anyways, that's one of my favorite movies. You know that part where there's already the shark scare and they're like searching in the water and all of a sudden they see the shark fin and they're like, oh, clear the way. And like all these boats swarm around and it turns out it's like this kid with a shark, like cardboard fin. And, you know, they like blast the kids or whatever. They get in big trouble. But I thought of that when I was thinking about this, you know, these little kids with a cardboard fin scared everybody out of the water. They got all these things happening, and we can't let an illegitimate pretend lion or a cardboard shark fin stop us from doing the work that we're supposed to do. Whatever the devil tells us is a lie. It's a lie. So when we get off track because of whatever he's telling us, basically we're getting scared out of the water by a cardboard shark fin, you know? The devil works by fear. The Word says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if God didn't give it to us, then who does it come from? It's from the devil. I mean, anytime we have fear, it's from Satan. There's only another, I mean, that's the only other option. If God didn't give it to us, you know, fear. I had this T-shirt it was really cool. It said, "Fear is false evidence appearing real." That's what fear stands for, false evidence appearing real. And we all know that in court, you know, they collect evidence and, you know, exhibit A and bring exhibit B. And if you watch any of those like cop shows or Law and Order or whatever, we know that evidence can be falsified. Evidence can be tampered with. It can be made to look one way, but it's not that way. Things can be made to seem real, but they aren't. And that's how the devil works. He is the father of forgery. He is the king of knockoffs, you know, the ultimate in imposters and fakes. Yes, fear is false evidence appearing real. Whatever our fear is, it's based on false evidence. It's a lie. It's not true. There is no truth in him. So whatever the devil has been telling you, it's a lie. It's a lie. That's it. So what are we afraid of? Because it's a lie. Oh, you're not going to be able to pay your bills this month. Lie. Oh, you know, nobody wants to listen to you because look at what you did and look at all this stuff. Lie. Whatever the devil is putting in our head, it is a lie. Oh, you know, your family's just all screwed up and nothing's going to come out of your kids and blah, blah, blah. Lie. All of it is a lie. Oh, you're sick because your family was sick and you're going to be sick and you're always going to be sick and you might as well just deal with it and take all these meds and blah, blah, blah. Lie. It's all a lie. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54:14 says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. In righteousness we are established, and we don't have to fear because terror, we don't have to be afraid of all these, you know, doom and gloom and all these things that are happening, all these lies from the enemy, because it can't come near us. We are established in righteousness. So whatever we're afraid of, it's a lie. We're afraid of death. The word says that we have life in Christ. If we're afraid of sickness, the word says that by stripes I am healed, that we are healed. If we're afraid of disaster, Psalm 91 says that no disaster will come near my dwelling place. If we're afraid of poverty, the word says that seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. If we're afraid of hell or unsure of our salvation, the word says that there is no condemnation in Christ. And if we're afraid of evil and demons and all these things, Jesus said in the word that all power and authority has been given to us. So whatever the fear is, we need to compare it with the word and go by that. Whatever the word says, that's the truth. Isaiah 60. Let's go to Isaiah 60. Is everybody all right? I didn't really realize this. I guess it's fitting considering the time of year it is. You turn on, like, my kids can't even watch Disney right now because everything is, like, witches and ghosts and, you know, all these things and junk, just junk. Lies. Exactly. And, like, where I work at Haven, you know, all the residents have their TVs on. A lot of them, you know, there's always a TV on somewhere. And walking by, you know, I'll go in the room or whatever. And there's some channel, I don't even know what it's called, but they're having this thing called Fear Fest, like, the whole month. And they're just playing, like, crap movies, you know, and Fear Fest all month. And it's like, why? Why would we celebrate these lies and these things that, come on. We're gonna talk about what's real. All right. So Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. We got to shine our light. It says that all nations will come to your what? Light. Light. All nations will come to our light. Arise and let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine in you. We have the glory of the Lord on us. We have Jesus who is the light. The word says, we read in John 1, that he is the light, that the darkness cannot extinguish it. And he said that he has made his home in our hearts. He lives with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So that means we have the light in us. In us. We have the light in us that we have to shine. It says, let your light shine. That means that we have a choice. That means that we have a responsibility. Let your light shine. That means that we have the choice not to. It doesn't say we don't have the light, but it says let the light shine that you already have. We have it, but we got to let it out. And we don't need to be scared because the word says that the gates of hell will not prevail against us because the word's going to go forth, the word's going to accomplish its purpose, and the darkness can't extinguish the light. Hallelujah. That is good news. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going back to John. I don't want to do that one. John, thank you, Jesus. John 10:10. We all know this one too. Oh, shoot. Sorry. For the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but my purpose, this is Jesus talking, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Another version says life and life more abundantly. The thief's purpose is to steal. Stealing is what? Taking something that's not yours. That's what stealing is. When Eric preached his message on Sunday, you know, he was saying that everything is terror, terror, terror. It's so true. Like, everything is doom and gloom, but not in the kingdom. That's not the kingdom. That, I mean, doom and gloom and all this stuff, that's just a lie from the enemy. The word, the kingdom, is not doom and gloom. The kingdom is victory and light. That is the kingdom. Victory and light is in the kingdom. That's what it is. Let's go to Psalm 91. These are just promises that we need to have established in us and know that they're ours. Psalm 91. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers and will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors by night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread disease that stalks in darkness, nor disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. That is huge. If you make the Lord your refuge. In Isaiah, we read that we are established in righteousness. We are established in righteousness. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. And I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. And when I was preparing this, I was going to try to pick like one little piece. But this whole thing, starting from the first verse to the end, says those who live in the shelter of the Most High. We have promises. When we stick with God, we are established in his righteousness. When we are with him, what does the word say? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Hallelujah. Terror, terror, you know, all this is doom and gloom. And when he was saying that, I was like, there's a scripture that says that. Terror, terror, terror. And sure enough, I looked it up. Revelation 8:13 says, then I looked and I heard a single eagle crying loudly as it flew through the air. Terror, terror, terror to all those who belong to this world. To all those who belong to this world. Does it say terror to those who are in Christ? No. It says terror, terror, terror to all those who belong to this world. When we are on the side of Jesus, we don't have to worry about what the economy is doing and what this and that is doing. We are secure in Christ. We are established in righteousness. It says terror to all those who belong to this world because of what will happen when the last three angels blow their trumpets. We got to know that the devil is trying to steal what is not his. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said that he is a murderer from the beginning. There is no truth in him. I mean, we got to realize his tactics here. I mean, we got to be wise to the wiles of the enemy so that way we can recognize it and squash it. We can't make it. I mean, he's always trying to trip us up. Oh, you know, he'll put this obstacle in your path or this in front of you and just trying to trip us up. And we have to be aware. We have to, the word says, be not deceived. Be alert, to stay alert. The devil roars around like a lion, seeking those who he may devour. Doesn't say he can, all of us. He's looking for those who are making them, who are prey items, I guess you would say. So we can't make it through an obstacle course. We've all been through an obstacle course. We're all in PE, you know, they have like these things or whatever. We can't make it through an obstacle course if we have a blanket over our eyes. You know, I'm really into like health and fitness and stuff like that. And I follow a lot of like these races. Have you heard like Spartan Race and all these things? And like, there's like these crazy obstacle courses and you have to like jump over fire and crawl under fences and like do all this crazy stuff. You could not do that if you're like, yeah, I got this. And you like tied a blindfold around your eyes and went through and did it. You would get messed up. You would get cut up. You'd get burned. It would not be pretty. Well, we can't make it through this life if we have these blinders on our eyes to what's really going on in the world. I mean, like Noah, even today when we were practicing for praise and worship, we're up here rehearsing and he's, you know, he puts his blanket over his head and he's like walking around. And it's so cute, right? I mean, like, I think it's adorable. There's that little short video that's been circulating. I don't know if you guys seen it. Like this little kid has like a sheet over his head and he's walking through and somebody like opens the door and it hits him and he falls over. Anyways, you know, it's so cute. It was cute. But, huh? No, it wasn't me. But, you know, it's so cute. It's cute until I'm trying to get everybody out the door on Sunday morning and we're trying to head to church and you know, and I'm like, where's Noah? And all of a sudden you see him like down the hallway, and he's got this blanket over his head and he's walking around. Come on, let's go, we're trying to go. And, you know, it's not cute. I mean, we kind of do the same thing. We sometimes we don't take these blinders off and we come to church and we're, you know, doing what, you know, we're plain religion or whatever it would be. We never take the blinders off and God's like, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. And we're back there in the background like, you know, to what he's trying to tell us. We got to take the blanket off our eyes and stop wondering why we keep falling down. We got to realize what's going on. We got to realize the wiles of the enemy and what's real and what's a lie, what's true and what's not. Because there's a battle going on. There really is. And, you know, Jesus already has the victory. And he will build his church. And he will come back. And he will reign forever supreme. But the devil is still trying to take as many people out along the way before that time comes. And we're, you know, it's like Red Rover. He's trying to get him on his side. And we're like, we need as many people as we can get. We got to be focused on keeping all these people with us. You know, we can't be friends with this world. That's just the case. We got to see the world for what it is. Realize what's really going on. Realize the plan of God. I mean, because we're God's hands. We're the word says that we're the body of Christ. So he's the head and we're the body. So we are God's hands that are here to pull people out of the fires of hell. Because the word says that God's desire is that not one should perish. That's his desire. But we have the choice to let our light shine or not. We can choose or we can choose not to. But we can't compromise with the world. Otherwise, we're going to get burned ourselves. I mean, Isaiah 54 said what? We are established. In righteousness shalt thou be established. We are not in the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. And what was the promise in Revelation 8? Terror to all those who belong to this world. If we stay friends with the enemy and mess around with, you know, stupid stuff, the only place we go is down. We just get dragged down. There's terror all around, but we're secure. We're secure in Christ. We're established in righteousness. And I loved the message that God gave to Eric? Because does that mean that bad things will never happen to us?
No.
We can be victimized, but that doesn't mean our identity is victim. And that is so powerful because Jesus, the word says that Jesus is our yes and amen. We are more than conquerors. We are victorious because he who already has the victory is in us. He's in us. So we got to let our light shine. And I mean, I keep talking about this and I keep thinking, you know, the children's song, "It's a Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine," you know, but it's so true. Children's church, there's some valuable, there's some powerful stuff that gets taught in children's church that we take for granted. I mean, I did anyways, you know, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong when they are weak, but he is strong." Think about that. "Jesus loves me, this I know." And how many times have we doubted? How many times have we thought about our salvation? Like, God, if God really cared about me, why would this be happening? And yet we know songs like that in the back of our mind, but they haven't been brought to truth in us sometimes. You know what I mean? So sometimes we gotta let some things go in this life. We can't serve two masters. The word says that we can't have two masters. We can't be both hot and cold, or that he, God, will vomit us or spit us out of his mouth. We have to decide whose approval is worth more, God's or people's. And when I was writing all my notes and stuff through the last couple of weeks, it was just a couple of things. Is shine the light, be the light, trust the light, and serve the light. We are the light in the darkness. We are the light in the darkness. John 1:5 said that the darkness can never extinguish it. So as dark as this world is going to get, and if you read Revelation, it's going to get darker, and Jesus told us it will, the word will go forth and God will build his church. It's going to go forth. And we have the light already in us, just waiting to shine through us. Isaiah 59:19 says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And I feel like right now that there is a standard, the standard is being raised. And as the world gets darker, the light is shining brighter. The darker it is, the brighter the light shines. And the Spirit of the Lord is raising the standard. Does everybody in here know how to swim? Anybody in here not know how to swim? Okay. You don't know how to swim? Oh, poor Mauna. But we went to the Cove recently with the youth group, and a few of us always joke, like, you know, we sit in the shallows, and when the waves come, like, they blast you, and you get like thrown all over, and you know, we all know what happens if you don't stay above water. Like, if you don't float above the water, you go under. After a while, what happens to you? You drowned. That's the reality. And we aren't fish. We all know that. I used to pretend I was when I was little, you know, and you swim like all weird. But we aren't fish. We can't survive underwater. The word says that we're fishermen. So we're actually supposed to be above the water and be pulling other fish or other people into the boat with us. That's what we're supposed to do. We can't live in this world and continue to breathe and wonder why we feel like we're drowning. We're in the world, but not of the world. We're above it. But yet we have to reach down to where people are and be pulling them up and out with us, into the boat, with us. Hallelujah. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to the people and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." That's awesome. If we follow him, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. Why? Because we have the light. We have the light. Matthew 24, you guys, we got to know that all this junk that's happening in the world, it's only the birth pains of other stuff that's the word says, Jesus said there'll be wars, rumors of wars, famines, floods. Matthew 24, in fact, let's go there. Matthew 24. Is everybody okay? We're good? All right. Matthew 24. Gotta pay attention. Matthew 24, starting in verse 4, says, "But don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah.' They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't come immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you're my followers." Does that sound familiar? "And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached. The word will go forth. The light will shine. He will build his church. It will be preached throughout the world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come." So despite all these things, the word's going to go forth. "The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Darkness can never extinguish it." So it's time, at least to me, I just feel like the Lord is saying to me, it's time to take the blanket off. And it's time. My glory's on the rise. It's time. I'm raising the standard. It's time. And it's like, it's, come on. At least for me, I've been convicted. Like, there's these things, like, instead of living, like, mediocre and, like, just barely skating by, it's time to let our light shine. Let our light shine. And that doesn't mean you got to get all crazy and quit your job and, like, sell everything you got and go and wear, like, a cardboard street sign that the end is coming on Pan American and 10th Street. No, that just means that you live for Christ wherever you are, in your job, in your work, with your family. When people are there telling you their problems, you got to answer for that. You're sick? I got the answer for you. Do you know that Jesus, you can give him an example. I was real sick and Jesus healed me, and the word says that he already paid for us, and he can do that for you. He wants to do that for you. Will you let me pray with you? Just to live out loud. That's it. We don't all have to go be missionaries to Africa. In fact, they're starting to send missionaries over here. We need to start living out loud. That's embarrassing, isn't it? People sending missionaries to the United States. And to me, it's like, well, gosh, then, I got to start doing something more. Raise the standard. That's right. What's the word say? Fan into flames the gifts that you receive. Fan into flames. All right, Luke 10. This is an interesting thing. Luke 10, this is when Jesus sent out the 70 disciples, and they came back and they were all excited, and they said, telling Jesus all the stuff that they did in Matthew 10, 17, 18, that, Jesus, that even the demons are listening to us and when we use your name and all these things. And then Jesus says that, he's like, yeah, and I saw Satan fall like lightning. And that scripture always bewildered me, and like, what the heck? Like, what does that mean? Like, and then in Matthew 24, 27, while we were here, Matthew 24, in verse 27, it says, "For as lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes." And then the next verse just says, "Gathering of vultures shows there's a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near." And I always wondered about that scripture too, like, shoot. What does that mean? Is it flashes over here and it shines over here? That's confusing. Like, God, that's confusing. Like, have you ever, it's okay if you're not a Bible scholar and you don't understand everything that you read in your word, ask God to reveal it to you. He will. And it was just something that was so confusing to me. And I was like, God, that's confusing. It's like, you're right. To imagine something flashing over here and shining over here is confusing. And that's how it's going to be when Jesus comes back. Confusion is going to be rampant. rampant. I mean, the word says that the love of many are going to grow cold, and there's going to be people over here saying that they're the Messiah and all these things. Confusion's going to be rampant when Jesus comes back. But we can't be confused about what's going on in this world or what we're supposed to be doing. We can't be deceived. The word says to stay alert. Verse 36 of chapter 24 says that no one knows when Jesus is coming back. Jesus said not even he knows. Only the Father knows. So that means we have to be ready at all times. Be ready. And I know it's like, you know, it's not the most, it's not like I'm preaching about like prosperity or like these like great, grand, like exciting, like, oh yeah, you know, type things. But this has just been reoccurrently, God is just telling us it's time. There are things going on that we know not of, but his glory is on the rise, and we have to be ready. We have to be ready. We have to be ready. Verse 37 through 39, basically, you know, it talks about it would be like as in the day of Noah. In those days, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered the boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That's how it's going to be when the Son of Man comes. So people aren't going to be paying attention until it's too late. We have to raise our standard now before we have to stand before God and answer to him as to why we didn't. Excuse me. So instead of me, every time now when I see these things on the news and another shooting here and another, you know, tragedy there and these things going on, instead of getting mad, there's almost like not an excitement because I'm not happy about those things that happen, but it's like, thank you, God, that despite all these things, that your light is brighter than the darkness and your word is going forth. Despite whatever the devil tries to do, I mean, he's going around like a lion. He's not even a real lion. And you have the victory despite all these things. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus. Despite all these things. Hallelujah. The word will accomplish its purpose. The word, Jesus, will go forth. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Where is Jesus? He's in us. And the word says here that it will prosper in the thing, in the thing, in the thing which I sent it. The word is in us. The word is meant to prosper in us and come out of us. That's the purpose. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing that I put it in. That's us. That's the church. The word is gonna, it has to prosper in us and come out. It has to shine. Arise, let your light shine, for the glory of the Lord shines all around you. We got to let our light shine. And anything that the devil's telling us is a lie. We don't have to listen to him anyways. It's not true. God has the victory. We have the victory. We read Psalm 91. That alone, that chapter, I mean, you can shout after reading that chapter. It just gets me, it just gets me good. Psalm 91 does. And I don't know, I mean, Calvin, you had said a couple weeks ago about how there was something going on with, like, strange spirits. And I so connected to that because there was one night that I was sitting on the couch and with Sophia, and she did something. I was looking at her, and, like, some crazy, horrible, random thought entered into my head. One of those that you just immediately know, like, that is not me. That is, like, I immediately knew that it was a spirit, but it was such a strange thought, weird, unnatural thought. And I recognized it, and I rebuked it, and you know, it left, and whatever. But at the same time, you know, the spirit was like, so many people get those, and they don't know how to recognize what you just did. And they don't know how to get rid of those thoughts like you just did. And then we wonder, you know, why there are, you know, these horrible, not even people, but, you know, like horrible acts that get performed because people don't know how to recognize. They don't know how to recognize the lies. They don't know how to recognize the falsehoods that the devil tells us. But we have the answer. We have the light that shines in the darkness. We have the light. We've had the light placed inside of us, and we are meant to carry it. We are the body that carries Jesus. We are the hands and feet that carries Jesus. Hallelujah. So we have to let our light shine. So this pumpkin, right? So we have this pumpkin. Yes, this pumpkin. It was so funny that in our bulletin it got published about the pumpkin. I thought that was so funny. Because as I was preparing this, while I'm talking, can we turn off these lights here for a second? Can we turn off all these lights? Jasmine, with your alien arm, can you come reach that one, please? Thank you. So we recently went to a little pumpkin patch. The Douglas Land Lab had a little pumpkin patch, and the kids picked out a pumpkin. This actually is not it, but they picked out a pumpkin. And, you know, you look at pumpkins, and they're all, I mean, generally the same. Like, yeah, you have the weird ones that look, you know, different. But, I mean, pumpkins are pumpkins. And when I was preparing this, I was thinking, you know, about pumpkins. It's fall, and there's pumpkin spice everything, you know, that you can imagine right now. And the Lord kind of just put a little analogy into my heart. So we take pumpkins, right? They're all the same. This pumpkin, you would not distinguish it from any others. You know, if we turned off all the lights in here, if we made it completely dark, I mean, it would be dark. But inside this pumpkin, I don't know if you can see. Can you see that? There's a light in this pumpkin. Okay? There. So there's a light in this pumpkin. But when we had the cover on, there was no difference than any other. You could put this in a field of pumpkins, a bazillion pumpkins, and you wouldn't, I mean, it wouldn't be any more special than the next pumpkin. Yeah, a little bit different in shape, a little bit different in color or size, but it's still a pumpkin. When you turn off the lights, it was still dark. But there's a light inside. There has been a light that has been on in this pumpkin since before anybody came to church. But did we know it? No. We didn't know it until we took off what was holding the light in. Do you get what I'm saying? If we keep ourselves closed up, we will always have the light on inside. The word says that the darkness will never extinguish it. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We're going to have him in us all the time. All the time. But if we keep ourselves closed up, nobody will ever know that we are any different than any other person on this planet. We have to. We have to let our light shine. We have to. We have to raise our standard and take our blinders off, because God is doing stuff. His glory is on the rise. And I don't know exactly. I mean, God is doing stuff sounds so vague. But it's good. Whatever he's going to do is going to be good. And I want to be part of it. I don't want to look like every other pumpkin that's out there and be the same. We have to let our light shine. So we can turn it around and look like every other single pumpkin that ever was, but there's still a light in here. We have the Holy Spirit. The word says that we have been given the Holy Spirit without limit. Without limit. And to me, that is so convicting. But we don't have to fear the wiles of the enemy. We don't have to fear, you know, this. We don't live in fear fest, okay? We have the power of Christ. We have the hope of glory that is inside of us. And that makes me so excited, so excited. So I guess the root of what I would say was, like, God just wants us to shine. He just wants us to shine. He just wants us to be his ambassadors, to not be deceived by all the junk and get pulled into all the junk that the world does. Because it's very easy to look like every other pumpkin out there. It's so easy. But then the light just stays inside. I mean, it doesn't shine, it doesn't give light. It's just there. But we have been given the Holy Spirit without limit for a purpose. And that is to draw nations to our light, to draw kings to our light. Hallelujah. Well, I hope that made sense. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that we have shining on the inside of us. And Lord, forgive us. How dare we? How dare we contain or try to contain your power and your glory? Lord, you have designed us to be your vessels, your messengers, your carriers. And Lord, that's what we just give ourselves to you. We don't want to look like every other pumpkin that's out there. We want to shine the light that you have put inside of us. We want to shine that light, your light, Jesus, for the whole world to see. And we thank you, Lord, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and sound mind. Thank you, Lord, that you do not work by fear, but power and love and sound mind. So, Lord, right now, right now, right now. Oh, shokoro ma shekiri ne ma te kiri de pokoro vo shakani ne ma ti she. Le koro mo shani ne kini e kio koro vo shokoro do vo shati kiri de ma ti she. Shono mo te kari mandi koro vo shokoro no no mo shi tiri de kiri de ma ti she. At the start of the year of Right Conference, there was a prophecy given about whirlwinds. And I was reminded just right now about how there was going to be whirlwinds. They say it's the year of the whirlwind or the year of the whirlwind. And you think about that, it cycles up, cycling up. And that's what I felt right now, that reminding us that this is the year of the whirlwind. God is cycling up. And we need to elevate and raise the standard and cycle up with him. We can't just stay in the same place and expect to reach a higher level. The word says that we'll go from glory to glory, but that means that we cycle up. We cycle up, we come back around, but at a higher level than we used to be. So he doesn't want us to be the same person that we were 6 months ago, or the same person that we were a year ago, or the same person that we were last week. Every day we have an opportunity to cycle up and just get closer to him, raise the standard. So Lord, help reveal what needs to be raised, what needs to be cut out. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your spirit of discernment that is within us, that Lord, just fine tune it, that we would just directly recognize what's you and what is the enemy, that we would realize what is true and what is false, that we thank you, Lord, that your word says that Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything that Jesus, that you have taught, everything that you have said. And I thank you, Lord, that when the enemy comes in like a flood and tries to flood our mind with all these thoughts, that your spirit will raise the standard against it and remind us of what you have said, Lord, in the word, what is true and against what is false, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your glory. I don't even know what to say anymore, but if you need prayer for anything, God's presence is here. I mean, he is everywhere, and he wants to touch you. And so if you need prayer for anything, please, the floor is open for you to come, and we want to pray with you. Lord, we just welcome you. We thank you for your healing power. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Thank you, Lord, for sound mind. Steady heart, Lord, for your peace that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, for all the promises that no disaster will come near our dwelling place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 We just love you. You are Jesus. You are Jesus. Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. You are Jesus. You are the hope of nations. You are everything that we need. Let us just be so in love with you that we just can't help but talk about you. That we just can't help but shine your light and obey you. Hallelujah. Well, amen. 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 And just one thing. This last month or these last couple weeks, payday is Friday, as Jacqueline said, and I have been very aware that payday is Friday. It has been one of those where you are ready for that paycheck to come. You are ready to get paid. And I was a little bit, you know, where you get kind of frustrated and you get like, you want to not get mad at God, but I was like, God, why have things been so tight? Like, shouldn't I have abundance? And shouldn't I have, you know, I tithe and complaining to God, basically, you know. And then that's when, you know, the Holy Spirit slaps you right in the face and reminds you, and he reminded me, don't you remember how many unexpected expenses you had this month? And you still have a positive bank account balance right now. Yeah, maybe less than $100, but it's not negative. Despite all of the things, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours. And it was one of those things like, you're right, you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord, that you have abundantly provided for us this month. And we forget all the stuff that God does for us on a daily basis. Do you remember when you paid triple your daycare bill, what you usually pay, and you paid extra and you had this bill and you still had to pay for this bill and that bill, unexpected expenses, and yet your bank account is still in the positive, still in the black. Black's good, right? The black? So we're still in the black. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours. And I just, some that's just let just that be a reminder to us that sometimes we just got to change our perspective. Because God doesn't work by what our standard of success and our standard of all these things are. But he will always take care of us. Always. Always. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, oh goodness. That's so good. Shoot, that's a convicting song. I mean, that's a challenging song. It's cute and it's lovely, but we're making a declaration to the Lord saying that I'm going to let it shine. That is, that's a faith statement. I'm going to let it shine. Because despite all these things, despite what the world says and does, his glory will shine, his glory will reign, and overwhelming victory is ours. Hallelujah. Well, if nobody needs prayer, have a yes. Amen. That's right. That's right. What is it? The widow always had just enough oil and flour. Doesn't say that God went and dumped 10 million tons of flour and oil on her house, but she had enough to make it through. And God will always give us enough to make it through and give us exactly what we need. That's right. Amen. Well, have an awesome week. Somebody knows how to make pumpkin pie. You can take this. See you Sunday.